dating to photography, from beadwork to woodworking. KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenseth with today's Artbeat.
On this episode of Artbeat, we visit with oil and pastel artist Julie Johnston. Julie, along with fellow Winona-based artists, recently opened Island City Gallery in downtown Winona. Today, she speaks to us about her own passion in painting. Julie will share with us how she starts creating a piece, her love of color and challenges in learning to balance it, and how at one point in her life, she had to take a break away from painting. I'm Terry Tenseth, and you're listening to Artbeat.
Hello, my name is Julie Johnston, and I'm an oil painter and pastelist, or an artist, in Winona, Minnesota. I've been in this area for over 7 years now. It's just beautiful. One of the reasons that I moved here was so that I could paint and do art full-time. I had a hiatus for about 30-some years, and it's great to be in an area with so much beauty and so many artists. It helps me paint.
Julie, when did your relationship with art start and why?
At a very young age, I just remember colors. I remember painting in kindergarten. I remember an English teacher that I had who I loved, who taught us about adjectives using colored glasses of water and changing color with them, and I got it. I understood the lesson. Art class was always my favorite class. High school was my favorite. I made my senior year so that I had mostly art classes in it, finished everything else up early. I started to a university, and at that time it was the late 60s and it was all abstract, so I left the university and went to art school in Chicago so I could learn classical art and bones in the body, structure of the body, and so forth.
Why oils? Why pastels?
I started off with charcoal and drawing, colored pencils, acrylic paints. Once I used oil paints, it was like when you hear about a jeweler talking about going from brass to silver and how fabulous it is. And then they go from silver to gold and they'll never go back. And that's the way it was with oils. It's just the consistency, the way the colors blended, the smell of the linseed oil, the smell of the turpentine, the oil paintings I saw in museums, the fact that you could thick or thin them, or there's just nothing like them. And pastels, I feel the same. The pigment is the same in both, but the binder is different. So in pastels, you have the pigment of the color, the paint, the cadmiums, where it's made, whatever minerals are it's made from. But the binder is some chalk, so you have a softness there, a different way that they blend, a different way that they layer, and just both of them attract me. I love both.
You said you took a 30-year hiatus. Can you tell me why you took a break?
Well, I took a break for about 36 or 37 years, actually, because I was raising a family. I married when I was young. I had two daughters, and I got divorced and ended up working to support my children and myself. And it was kind of a love-hate with art then. I knew what I could do, but I couldn't really come home really tired and do it. Some people can. I had a hard time doing it. So I started doing jewelry at night and just anything else that could take the place of, and drawing some, but no painting. And teaching children's classes on the weekends and things like that, just volunteering at things, gave me the joy.
And then you moved back to the area you said. What was that inspiring moment to get you back to creating again?
When I moved here to Winona, I moved into a house that had an extra bedroom that I could make into a studio, so I didn't have to keep taking things up down. And oils are a bit complicated to keep putting away and taking down. Although when I go out to paint now, I have a box that has everything in it. Well, a box, a backpack, and an easel. But it was so fabulous to have a place that I could have my drawing table, I could have my easel, I could have all my paints out. I don't have to put things away. And I live in a place where I could go outside my door and paint something beautiful.
What are some of the challenges of working with oil and pastel?
I guess the first thing, as I'm back into this and learning a lot of, is it's hazardous. to your health. There are issues with pastel dust. There are issues with the chemicals, the turpentine, which no one uses much anymore. I've been learning more about clean air machines, wearing gloves, having good ventilation. The other thing is you make a lot more poor paintings and drawings than you do good ones. So that's always a challenge. But the beauty is there are new papers and things with pastels that you can wipe off easier, and with oils you can always reuse. But I do have a sort of a mortuary in my basement of a lot of dead paintings. So,
What do you do with those dead paintings?
Well, I save some and just to see where I am and what I've done. And sometimes I just like paint over them. But there's still quite a bit down there. Sometimes you pull them out months later or years later and think, well, this wasn't so bad, and try to work with it. And sometimes it doesn't work, and sometimes it does. And sometimes you just leave them down there because you really don't want to see them anymore, and you don't want to think about them.
How do you survive as an artist in Minnesota?
That is a challenge. That's probably the biggest challenge. I teach private lessons. I've taught at the university. I've taught at the Conservatory for the Arts. I've gotten an arts grant. Minnesota, we're lucky here because we have a very active arts grant, arts board. I just opened a gallery with two friends in downtown Winona, Highland City Gallery. We all three try to create interest and make things interesting so people will come to different openings or just come in and see the gallery. And that's been great. It's given us a venue to not have to have everything packed away in our houses and have it out. And as a result, you know, we do sell some more pieces than we normally would. There's also the art tour, the Bluff County Art Tour. There's the Winona Art Walk in November. And there are different venues in town and in La Crosse and in Rochester to show work. So, oh, and I also do a series of note cards, and that's kind of nice for some cash flow.
Do you have to work any other jobs to support yourself as an artist?
I certainly have. I've worked part-time jobs, yes.
So, Julie, how do you start a painting?
Oh, there are all kinds of ways to start a painting. Sometimes, very rarely, I sketch it out. Mostly I just usually have whatever I'm working on in front of me. At this point, it's a photograph of a kitty. My kitty Monaco passed away 2 years ago, and I'm doing a show pretty soon about furred and feathered friends, so I need paintings, and I wanted to do her in the garden, which was her favorite spot. So I'm going to work from a photo on Monaco, and then I'm going to go outside to my garden and paint the garden that she loved to be in. So I'm starting a little differently. But usually I block it in, try to get rid of all the white, because white is like my enemy. I don't know where to go when I have too much white. And if I were to have an animal in front of me, I would be taking my own photos of it, which I did with Monaco, and bringing that back to the studio. And then just start in painting, like sketching in what I want. And I know that I'll have back here, I'll have some raised beds. And here, lilies, there'll be some big orange and yellow lilies all in here that she loved to hide in. And some goat's beard over here that she loved to hide in too. So there'll be a lot of color and a lot of green leaves and things. So part of the difficulty of this for me will be that I'll need to do it all in one day as much as I can, so I can blend the edges into each other and into the greens.
Because of the nature of oil?
Because of the nature of the way I like to do oil, which is a little bit impressionistic in the sense that the impressionists tried to do everything at least in one sitting or wet, not too many strokes, not too much blending, so that everything can be blended into one. I mean, there are ways that if you don't get it all in one setting to kind of wet it up again, and blend from there. I don't like black. It makes a hole, it's too dark, so I mix my own black, which can tend towards blue, it could tend towards red or purple, or just look pretty black. And I think for her, she was black with a bit of kind of cameo pink in her and creamy colors and a little ochres. So it's kind of fun to just kind of see what I come up with. She had a lot of beautiful colors in her, and that's going to be fun. So I'm just trying to block in some of the bigger shapes right now and some of the dark so I can see where I'm at, kind of.
Is it hard to part with a piece if it sells?
There's only been a couple paintings that are hard for me. And so far, those haven't sold, so I'm okay. I think it's kind of like nice to see. I don't want to say they're like my children because they really aren't, but it's nice to create something you feel good about and that somebody likes it and wants to have it in their house. And that's such a good feeling that that makes me really happy. But there have been a couple that have kind of special meaning to me, I guess. So in that sense. And I have some of my grandchildren that mean a lot to me that I won't part with. And I think because they're more figurative work too, you would say they would be sellable because they're not necessarily a portrait, but they remind me of places that we went and things that we did, which is great.
Is it hard to take criticism as an artist, or have you been able to harden
your... Oh, good question. It depends on what the criticism is. I think it's always hard to take criticism. You always appreciate it. But art is so subjective. As a teacher, I used to hate doing critiquing, and now it's like an opportunity just to show students what they're doing right, and maybe how to bring things up a little bit in a level or something like that. And I think that if we keep that in mind, I feel better about it. But I think that's a really, it's probably another reason that I didn't paint for all those years, because it's hard to do. When I first got out of art school, I tried to get into when I first moved to Minneapolis, I tried to get into commercial art because there was no place. I was a young artist for fine arts. And so I tried doing storyboards and taking them around, making appointments at different agencies, and I would be told, oh, this looks way too fine artsy. Oh, we have someone who does paints like you. Well, you can have... I think I had two jobs that I had to have done within 24 hours because nobody else wanted them. But it was the hardest thing I ever did to put my work in a portfolio and take it around to show people. It was very interesting. And then to be told that it was too fine artsy was... I didn't know whether to feel good or bad about that.
I guess all you can do is laugh sometimes.
Yeah, you had to. Well, I did. I also didn't last long in commercial art, so... it just wasn't enough. And then when the internet came along, I think a lot of typeset companies and painters and things like that kind of lost things to the internet.
Do you feel like you have to compete with digital arts?
I don't. No, I don't feel that way. But I know that commercial artists do. Yeah, I have a good friend who used to do a lot of illustrations for schools and textbooks, and he lost that to digital art. I think it's a hard way for kids nowadays to make a living as a fine artist. It's just, like I said, it's so subjective, and it's interesting. When I was in the Southwest, you find out Western paintings are really big. That's what's selling. Portraits sell better in the South. It's just kind of interesting. I think landscapes probably sell the best in the Midwest. Apparently in the Southwest, cowboys and Indians sell very well. I think artists are always trying to figure out a formula of what does sell and what can they do with that. One of the interesting things that a lot of people have asked me, and if I could figure out a way, and I've been thinking about this, you know, the art and wine thing that's really big now?
Oh, the art and canvas, yeah.
Yeah. That's not really something I'm interested in. I think it's great that people are being creative and getting to do those things, but it's not something that I would be interested in teaching, per se. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but... I'm trying to figure out how I could do that and have people like bring it up a notch, kind of. But I have a lot of people saying to me, why aren't you doing that? I'm really think it's great that that people are though picking up a brush and doing some things with it.
And maybe they'll want to endeavor more into it after that?
Yeah. I actually was thinking about coming up with an idea of doing something more with that that would be a little more fine arts. So we'll see how that goes. Always thinking, you know.
What gets you up in the morning to keep doing what you're doing?
That I love it. And that when I'm painting, there's no feeling like it. And just if I'm working on something that's really difficult, it's harder to face it. If I'm working on something I really love, it's like you don't want to go to sleep and you can't wait to get up and you dream about what brush strokes, what color, how can I make that certain color? And then you might think about it in the night and, oh, I think I've got it. So there's pens.
There's a difference between painting for yourself and painting for others. Can you tell me what that means to you?
Yes, I do get commissions. I do a lot of dog portraits and some houses, barns, things like that. Commissions for me are a lot more difficult because usually an artist will paint something that they're really inspired to paint, or it might be something ordinary and they just see the beauty in it. On a commission, you feel an extra stress that the client isn't possibly sure of what they want. They have a lot of parameters around it. Could be color, could be all the things that aren't there anymore. I recently did one for someone who wanted a place that didn't exist anymore. The trees were gone, a lot of the things in the landscape were gone. And that was really difficult. It took me almost, I would say about 7 or 8 months of working on it while I worked on other things to get it to a point where I felt comfortable with showing it to them. And thankfully they liked it in the end, but it was one of the most challenging paintings I've ever done.
Yeah, how do you paint something that...
I'm more of a plein air or a plein air painter where you just go out and you paint what you see or you paint what's in front of you. So in coming back into this and painting now for the last 5 years, it's been interesting. I've had to learn how to work with photographs. And thankfully we have laptops and computers and iPads that take better photos now. So although I have done deceased animals from photos that are the instantaneous Polaroid camera photos, and had to Google what color that dog really is in real life, what that breed looks like. But I've learned a lot more about working from photos, although my preferred method is to paint someone while they're there, to paint the landscape out in the landscape, and then take photos as well, come back and try to finish things up sometimes in the studio.
How do you keep educating yourself? How do you keep becoming a better artist?
So far, I've been fortunate enough for the last 2 years in a row, and before that it was like 4 years ago maybe, I've been going to workshops of artists that I very much admire and have a small enough group that I feel like I'm getting enough attention. I think as artists, we get to a certain level. I think as people, we do that. If we love something, we'll get to a level and you're at this level and you're kind of stuck and you need to move on somehow and it just doesn't seem to be moving on. So as an artist, I run into certain problems in my painting that I sometimes can't get beyond, or I just want to take it up a level. So I've been fortunate enough to take workshops with some really well-known painters in the country and get some feedback about how to do that. And that helps me grow. And then I can come home and work on it. My biggest problem is I love doing people and I can't get people to sit for 16 hours or however long a model will sit at these workshops. You have days of them and that's fabulous. But I can take that lesson and apply it to photos, or I can take it and apply it to a landscape.
If you could describe to me your biggest learning moment throughout your artistic career, what that was.
Wow, my biggest learning moment. Well, I love color, and sometimes I use way too much color in my paintings. And I think probably this last winter I was in at a workshop in Scottsdale, Arizona, with a wonderful portrait artist, Rose Franson. Part of the reason I was there was to figure out how I use my love of color and my use of color to the best advantage. And I think my biggest aha moment, or my biggest moment of learning so far, like I get it because I took a workshop from her probably 4 years ago and I didn't get it. I listened, I thought I understood it. But this time we did a palette lesson where she watched me, and then I watched her mix and figure out where to transition color-wise, how to use my colors, warm and cool, to my advantage. And it was like, wow, all of a sudden it just clicked. And so hopefully I'm continuing that.
What is your favorite thing to paint?
Wow, it's a toss-up between people and landscapes. Figures, I guess. One of my favorite things to paint is just people in the landscape or people in a situation.
If you weren't doing this, what would you be doing?
Well, my whole career was in the floral industry. So I managed flower shops. I created designs and bouquets for mass markets and for other small flower shops. So that's one of the things I know really well. But my reasoning for getting into that was my love of agriculture. So I think if I hadn't done this, I would have loved to go back to school in agriculture somehow. I love gardening and I love growing food. I love learning about it.
Being an artist in the community, people see your work a lot. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that you have a certain responsibility to Winona?
Oh, I do. I do. I feel very supported by Winona, and I feel very supportive of Winona. It's interesting you ask that, because I've gone painting now twice to Door County, and when I do paintings there, I almost feel bad showing them here because we have so many wonderful wildlife refuge parks and things around here, which is crazy because it's fun to go other places and paint them too.
If people want to find out more information about you, where should they go?
I have a website, www.juliejohnstonart.com. If you just do Julie Johnston, you get this great basketball player. So you have to put art in there. You could also come down to the gallery, which is at 119 East 3rd Street in Winona, right across the street from the big Merchants Bank with the stained glass windows in their parking lot. And we're open Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays.
Thanks again to Julie Johnston for visiting with us on Art Beat. More information on Julie can be found at juliejohnstonart.com. I'm Terry Tensett, thanking you for joining us for Art Beat.
Art Beat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.